أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. ثم السلام على آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم الأجمعين إلى يوم الدين. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقي. صدق الله العظيم. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So as every year, we have an aim, and hopefully we'll be able to fulfill that aim in the next 9 days. The aim in essence is to fall in love, and I hate to use the word fall in love, but that's what general English talks about, with the Rab of Hussein through his book. Last year we looked at some Asma'ul Husna, if you remember. But we're going to look at one of the one of those from that book. And it's something that we don't normally recite, at least I don't think most of us recite it. And we're going to look at Suratul Inshiqaq. Suratul Inshiqaq is surah number 84 of the Quran. Okay, so we're going to look at it, look at different aspects of it. The ayah I recited was ayah number 6, where Allah says, Ya ayyuhal insan, O human being, indeed you will meet what you strived for all your life. It's like a definite. It's like there's no choice but to. So you will see what you strived for all your life. Now, the first thing we've got to think about any surah, if you see Suratul Inshiqaq, surah number 84, why should you recite it? Most Khojas, I'm a Khoja, love it, okay? So most Khojas want to know benefits first. So the benefit of reciting the surah is that Allah will never leave you. I mean, divinity never leaves you anyway, but you will always be attached to him. If somebody is in labor, they want to have their labor easy, dawa and dua, by the way, okay? Don't refuse all the help the midwives give you, but also Suratul Inshiqaq. Inshiqaq also keeps you safe. It's like an alarm system around you. So it's only 25 ayat. Now, the next thing to learn is, what does Inshiqaq mean? I mean, Infitar, Taqweer, these are all surahs that come before it. And I'll use surahs instead of sur because that's most of you know. Inshiqaq, shakka, means to break something, to tear it apart. But infitar means to break it apart as well. However, infitar is used for something that is soft, that you can stitch back together again. If I tore a piece of paper, I can sellotape it back again. If I tore a cloth, which is soft, I can stitch it back together again. That is infitar. Inshiqaq is when you break something and you can't put it back together again, like a rock. Or many years ago, my brother told me, you have so many children. I have five, by the way. He said, you have so many children. You know what? You need to get cutlery or crockery that doesn't break too much. Have you heard about that? Corel. Have you heard of Corel? Yeah. So he said, you should get Corel. Okay. Fair enough, you're telling me I should get Corel. I should get Corel. But have you ever tried to shatter a Corel dish? It doesn't just break into two, it just shatters. And I called him and I said, who is this? He said, well, I didn't know you had a stone floor. Anyway, so when you think of inshikak, you think of that dish that shatters that you can't put together again. Okay? So when Allah talks about this surah, that is what inshikak means, something that is irreparable and is split apart. You good with that? Okay. Now we're going to look at the focus of this surah. Every single surah we have done over the past, I don't know, 30 odd years, you first look at what is the focus of this surah. So there's two main focuses. The first focus is the ayah that I talked about, that we will, and it's inevitable. It's not like you have to wait till Qiyamah or you have to wait till the Day of Judgment to see what your striving is about. Allah hears, and when we do the different ayat, you will see it, that we know what we're striving for. Every human being knows. In Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Every existence has a goal. So you who believe, you who read the Quran, find the best of goals. Do you know companies, you spend millions, thousands of pounds to find a mission statement. And once they found that mission statement, from the porter to the cleaner to the CEO, they all know what their mission statement is. Same with you and me. What is our goal in life? Are we just going from one stage to the other? So this tells me, one, I will know what my striving is. Two, that every stage in life will come to an end. We started off as babies, then we started walking, and they said, no more buggies, you've got to walk now. Then we started talking, and they said, we're going to throw you into school. So they left us in school so they could go shopping. Me too, okay? So they left you in school, and then you grew up, and then they said, well, you've got to have a profession, so you went in. And these were goals, stage by stage by stage. Then they said, you've got to get married, and then they said, you've got to have children, and then it all started all over again, and then you died and you became helpless. And then you decided, what was all that about? What was life about? What is my goal in life? Micro and macro, I agree, you need these small goals. But what about your macro goal? What do you want to do? What is your life going to be like? So this says I'm going to meet my striving. So Muharram, the 10 days of Muharram, are here to make you and me reflect. Who do I want to be? What do I want to be? What legacy do I leave? What am I striving for? What am I doing with my life? So hopefully we will come to that particular one. I've said this many times, I repeat it again. If somebody asked me, what do you want to do in life? Well, I used to probably when I was younger say, well, I want to see the children grow up and have a vocation and them to be happy and, you know, all the normal Khoja things, right? But then you suddenly realize they have their own lives. They're independent. You need to let them find their own goals. But what is my goal in life? It is so that when the angel of death comes, I can say, thank you for life. I did my best at every stage. Whatever I knew, I did my best. But more so, I did my best at being able to understand who my Rabb was. Because he said, man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu. I'll flip it a bit. If you understand your Creator, you have understood yourself. So I'd like to fall in love, and hopefully you can join me, to fall in love with the Rabb of Hussein through his book. Now before I go to Inshiqaq, just a little bit about the first of Muharram. I kind of make notes so I don't forget. So today is the first of Muharram, right? Have you fasted? Don't tell me, I don't want to know, okay? So if you haven't fasted, it's okay, it's good to fast. But today was the day when Zachariah fasted because he wanted a child. Now, if you read Surah Maryam, Surah number 19 starts with Qaf Haya Ainsat. What is the second ayah? Zikru Rahmati Rabbika Abdahu Zachariah. It doesn't talk about Maryam in the first 11 ayat or first 12. It talks about Zachariah. Idh nada Rabbahu Nida'an Khafiya. What does Khafiya mean? Khafiya means he spoke really softly so nobody could hear. Normally, if you have a dua, it's good to share with people, right? So it's good to tell people, because if they pray for you, they pray with a sinless tongue. But this particular dua on the first of Muharram, Zachariah didn't want to tell anyone because he knew they would mock him. At 75, if he went on and he said, I want a baby, what do you think they would have said? I'm 65. Even if I told you I want a baby, you'd look at me and say, have you lost it? 10 years younger than what he was, okay? But you'd still say, have you lost it? In the same way, Zachariah in Surah Maryam, he does this dua really quietly. But it's beautiful, because if you look at ayah 7, immediate, Ya Zachariah, innan washiraka bi gulamin ismuhu Yahya. We give the good news of a child for you who will be called Yahya. Nobody was named Yahya before that. Oh, by the way, nobody was named Hussein before Hussein was named, right? There is a connection there. So the first of Muharram, if you haven't fasted, the Aima used to ask their companions, have you fasted? And if they said no, they said, pardon? Can't you fast? I know our fast, is it 9:38 today? I think it's 9:38 today. And Fajr was 2:38, okay. So it's a long fast. Okay, you can't fast? Do dua. Give the wasila of Zachariah. Ask for the impossible. Because the impossible can be made possible. If Zachariah could have Yahya at 75, I mean, what can't you do? And believe in it. Oh, by the way, Yahya was born 5 years afterwards, okay? He waited. 5 years after he did the dua, Yahya was born. So don't say that if I don't see the two blue ticks on WhatsApp, oh God, she hasn't replied. It's not like that. It's his time you trust in, but it will be answered. So that's the first of Muharram. Just these are things that I've done with you, I think, every single year. We call this azadari, don't we? Aza is Arabic for grief. Dari is Persian or Iranian, which means something that is to happen. Now, I'm a Koji again. I will keep on saying this to you. And we're very good at taking bits from everywhere and putting them together. Have you seen our wedding ceremonies? There's a garland from the Hindus. There's a cake from the English. There's those things that you break. I don't think they do them anymore. But there's so many things we borrowed from everywhere. And we have a very rich culture. Okay, we borrowed from everywhere. So in the same way, we've got to think, Azadari was put together, but it is specific to Hussein ibn Ali. Majlis. Ayatollah Bahjat said, don't say you've gone to a majlis. Never say that. Say you are going for ziyara. He doesn't say ever say I'm going to a majlis. Go for ziyara. What does ziyara mean? It comes from the Arabic word zawr, which means to deflect. To turn away. That means when you come to ziyara, when you come to a majlis, you deflect from everything except Hussein ibn Ali. That is what ziyara means. That is what this majlis is for. And before I go into explanation of ziyara in a little bit, when you go to anybody's house, it could be anyone, the first thing you do when you knock on the door and they open the door, what do you say? Assalamu alaikum, don't you? Or assalamu alaikum. This is the first of Hussein. You're invited here because of Fatima. When you walk in, Assalamu alayki ya Fatima tuz Zahra. She's here. She invited you and me. Ask anyone here that come at 2 o'clock. Is it 2 o'clock? Come at 2 o'clock and come and sit down and listen to someone. And they'll say, I'm too busy. My life is so full of things. Where at 2 o'clock I'm going to find the time to come? Have you seen most people? Yet, what do you do here on the 10 days? You drop everything. And you come and you Sit. Why? Why? Because it is the karama of Sayyida Fatima. That's what she asked for. She said, for my son, when he was born, Rasulullah was crying. She said, who will weep over him? Who will cry for him? And divinity tells her, I will create a community to do that. That's what you and I do. Now when you come for ziyarah. There are so many hadith I'll give you, like Imam Sadiq asks his companions. Imam Ridha, by the way, was the first person who commemorated the 10 days. Otherwise, it was only one day, which was the day of Ashura. So both of these imam asked their companions, and you can probably look it up, but there's Safwan, there's Ibn Shabib, all of them. And they asked them, do you read ziyara every day? Do you do a majlis every day? And they said, no. Every week? No. Every month? No. Some faces we only see in Muharram, right? And they said, no. And imam tells them, what is stopping you? When you finished your work, to go up on your roof, at that time they had flat roofs, to you and I, to, for me and you, it is to go out under the sky, on your patio, on your back garden, in your front garden, wherever you find space, and turn towards Karbala and say, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. They tell their companions, when you're faced with adversity, recite the ziyara of Hussein. And they would say, what ziyara? And the Aima would tell them, go outside. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. I remember my mother died in 2016. If I ever were to call her and say, Mama, I am stuck. Mama, I don't know what to do. Especially when you come and sit on a place like this, don't deserve to sit here, don't know much, only a glorified microphone. And she would say, ah, I'm doing dua. And I would say, Mama, what dua do you do? And she would say, I'm going out. I'm taking sajdaga. You know more? I'm taking a sajdaga, because it has the sand of Hussein in it. And I'm going outside and I'm raising my hands and I'm saying, Ya Abbas, I give you the wasila of Hussein. She's stuck. And she would come back and she would tell me, is it all right? And I would say, yeah, it's fine. So these are things that we need to do every day. Imam Khomeini would never finish a salah without saying, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. I know you and I have been taught from childhood to recite the ziyarah of all the a'imma, but our children, I'm afraid, need something short, right? So Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. When you see water, when you're given water in your hands, Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. And it's not only in the 10 days. This is something we need to keep up throughout our lives, right? Because we need the Shafa'ah of Hussein. Do you have your mindil with you, which is your handkerchief? I think I have one here. Something like that. It doesn't have to be black. It can be white. It can be any color you like. But there are hadith, and I'll go over some of them. Let me go over a verbatim hadith of Imam Ridha. He says, Yabna Shabib, if you weep on the afflictions of Hussein, such as that tears fall upon your cheeks, Allah will forgive all your sins, big or small, less or lots. If one tear is thrown into the fire of Jahannam, its heat will subside. This is Imam Ridha. Okay, he will forgive that. But when you have issues with people, just go and say sorry. How difficult is that? But anything with Allah, he will forgive. And it's those tears, they're tears of truth. This happened how many years ago? 1400 years ago? Yeah, so many years ago. We see a Karbala maybe happening in Gaza today. We see children, we see all of these people. And the moment we see it, now we know why it was said, Kullu yawmin ashura kullu ardin karbala. In this ziyarat waritha, what do we say? If I was there, I would sacrifice myself and my mom and my dad. Do I not say that? If you and I were in Karbala, what would we do? What would we do? We would say, we would come and help. So what are we doing? Are we helping? You don't have to advertise it. But you can do as much as possible. Less waste. Less whatever you do. Give as much as you can. It's possible to do so. There are so many organizations that are helping. That is the practicality of what this is about. When we, you and I sit here, maybe we can tell Saida, less tabarruk and more donations to Gaza. I don't know. But it depends on what you and I tell her, or what you and I do. So these are little things that we need to do to be able to commemorate this. And the last one is obviously, there are so many protests from the young ones who say, why Shabi and why Alam? And I understand, they're asking. Let me give you an, we're not worshiping them, by the way, okay? I was watching a documentary on 9/11. And when 9/11 happens, horrific. But many of the families could not get the bodies of their loved ones because the building collapsed. There was nothing they could do. Now, if you watch this documentary, it tells you that they wanted to give their loved ones a funeral. So what they did was they took empty coffins, they took a fire engine to take those coffins to the graveyard and bury them. It was symbolic of letting them rest. So when we do the Shabis, or when we do an Alam, or whatever we're doing, they are symbolic. They are there to remind us that they were not buried. Their bodies were left on the sand. They were left on the earth. They were beheaded. So it is symbolism that we convey, and we convey to ourselves and to those around us. So these are just some of the things of Muharram that we need to keep in mind. But I've got a little bit of time, and I'll go back to Suratul Inshiqaq. So I'm going to ask you to look at Suratul Inshiqaq. It's only 25 ayat. I'm hoping that by next week you'll have memorized it. And you're looking at me like I've gone crazy. Okay, it's okay, it doesn't matter, okay? So Suratul Inshiqaq, divided into five sections. Can you do that? Okay, Suratul Inshiqaq, Surah number 84, what was the focus? I know this is not a two-way thing, but the focus was there's an inevitability that you and I will see our striving. And the second thing is that we will go through these different stages of life and we will end up where we came from. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. We have no choice but to age. Those gray hairs will appear. Those knees will hurt. That vision will go. You will become slower. You are not invincible. You can have as many Botox injections. You can go to the gym as much as you like. And please do. It's good for you to move. Do all those things. But aging will come. Stages of life will come. Okay, so five sections. The first section talks about cosmic chaos. It says that the heavens will be torn apart. That's where the surah comes from. That's where the first ayah of the surah comes from. إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ شَقَّتْ. When the heavens will be torn apart. So the first section looks at the tearing of the heavens and the stretching of the earth. The word uses muddat. You know madda, don't you? Madda in recitation, to stretch. The earth will be stretched. Now, when you stretch something, everything inside it is thrown out. It should remind you of a pregnant earth. When you look at a pregnant woman, what happens? She's stretched so the baby can come out. So the earth will be stretched, and this globe that you see will become so flat, everything in it will be thrown out. It'll be emptied. In this surah, Allah says, "Takhallat." It will be emptied. So what is the first section? Cosmic chaos. Earth splitting up, I mean, heaven splitting up and earth being stretched. Are you good? Okay. Second section. Second section is what I talked about. It says, Ya ayyuhan insan, O human being, you will see what you strived for in the world. Best way to do it is to imagine you're dead. We're all going to die, by the way. Don't worry too much. Okay. Imagine you're dead, and imagine at your funeral, three people were asked to come up to speak impromptu about you. Someone from your family, somebody from your friends, and somebody from your community. If you're not your friends, maybe somebody from work. Impromptu, huh? No preparation. What will they say? You and I know what they will say. So either live up to that, or make yourself somebody that you want them to say, whatever you want to say about them. Then it talks about the day of judgment, when people will be given their books in their right hand or behind their backs in their left hands. Whenever you read a Quran, an ayah of Quran, whenever you read Quran and an ayah says, we're going to give you the book in the right hand, raise your hands and say, Ya Allah, I want to be the one whom my book be given in my right hand. I don't want to be the one whose book will be given behind my back. Now, Allah says these people who will be given their book in their right hand, it means you've passed, by the way. We'll talk about it in more detail. But they will be masrura. Inside themselves, they will be so happy. It'll be not a fake happiness. You know fake smiles, don't you? Assalamualaikum, how are you? The moment you turn your back, go, No. This is like real pleasure, okay? Because they've got their book in their right hand. But they will, it says, it's quite amazing. I'll read the ayah to you. When we come to it, we'll go through each one of them. It's a beautiful ayah when he says, they will return back to their families. What families? When they get their book in their right hand, they will go back to their families. I just need to talk about it and then maybe we'll finish off tomorrow. So they go back to their ahl. Ahl is not only your family, but it can also be your community family. It could be a QBZ family. Okay, it could be a Husseini family, it could be a Stanmore family, I don't know, doesn't matter. But they will go back to them. Question, if I've got my book in my right hand, means I've succeeded, right? And I have to go back to my family. What if my family are in a different position in Jannah? Because we're told that there are different levels, yes? There's a lower level and there's a higher level. In fact, one hadith says the difference between the lower and the higher level is the earth and the stars. So does that mean that that member in the higher level will have to come down to meet me? I don't even mind sweeping the floors in the lower level, right? But trying to be there. So will they come down? No, because they're awarded up there. So the idea of this tells me, find someone whom you know will be given their book in the right hand, stick to them because you will get an upgrade to their level. Don't let go of them. So if you see somebody who's Husseini, just don't let go. That's why we hold on to Hussein, by the way. Okay? And we'll go over the ayat that's talking about, if you want to look at it now, it is Surah Tur, I think. It's Surah number 52, ayat 21, when it says, those whom you're related to, you can pull them up. So if you think you don't want to be pulled, you're not worthy of being up there, stick to someone who is. Can't be that difficult, can it? Call yourself Husseini all the time. Then he talks about those of the left hand who don't believe in accountability. But that says they were happy before with their lives. They didn't really care about the Akhirah too much. That second section. So first section, cosmic chaos. Second section, right and left and family upgrade. Are you good? Right. Third section is talking about, it actually talks about some oaths. It talks about the time of Shafaq, which is the time of just before Maghrib. It talks about the night. And Allah is telling you and me, have you seen how the night just creeps upon you? And you say, how did that happen? So he's saying, have you sometimes looked at your children? I look at my 5 and I have 9 grandchildren as well. And I look at them and I think, did I really give birth to you? I mean, they're there and they have their own minds. How did that happen? What happened? So he's saying, it's inevitable that you will age. So the third section is talk about, you have to know that the progress, or rather, everything will come to an end, right? The fourth section is a warning to those who cover up the truth. They know the truth, but they cover it up, and we'll talk about it. And the fifth section is the last ayah. It's beautiful. It says, إِلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who believe and manifest their belief, and I hate the word good deeds, but I'll use it for now, فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ, which means they will have a limitless reward. All of us in life, we want everything limitless, don't we? Love, limitless. Knowledge, limitless. I don't know, health, limitless. All that. Have you seen the movie Limitless? You haven't. Have you read the book, Limitless? Oh, give me a break. Okay, after 10 days, read about it. Just replace that limitless drug that there was in that book with Hossein and see the difference it makes. Okay. So, inshallah, tomorrow we will start Suratul Inshiqaq. And today was just an overview of the five sections. And we'll start and look at it bit by bit. And inshallah, you will memorize it as well. And fall in love with the Rabb of Hossein through his book, right? But today we will go to Masayib as such and just look at what is normally read on the 1st of Muharram. Okay. Now, the Ahlul Bayt had not reached Medina, or Karbala rather. Okay. So we're going to talk about them leaving Medina, which was on the 28th of Rajab. So you can imagine Ahlul Medina saying, don't go, please don't go. How can you leave us? You can't leave us. Please don't go. And Imam said, I have to go. Because he had refused to give allegiance to Yazid, he knew that they would come after him. And he did not want the sanctity of Medina to be compromised. The same thing happened in Makkah. Ibn Abbas told him, please don't go. He said, I have to go. I cannot compromise the sanctity of these two places. So he goes to say farewell to his mama and his grandfather. And he goes to their graves. I'd like to take you back when Sayyida Fatima, when it was her wafat. Imam Ali gives her ghusl and kafan, and he tells his children, come, come and say goodbye to your mama. They all came. Hussein did not. He said, I'm not coming. And his baba asked him, why not? And he said, I have never come, Hajj, if she doesn't call me. She always calls me, Ya Qurrata Ayn. She calls me Ya Qurrata Ayn wa Thamarata Fuadi. She calls me the coolness of her eyes and the fruit of her heart. I'm not coming until she calls me. Sayyid Astaghib Shirazi writes that Fatima opens her coffin, takes out her hands and says, Hussein, they have not buried me. Ya Qurrata Ayn wa Thamarata Fuadi, come and say goodbye to me. It is this Hussein that goes to say goodbye to his mama. He faints at her grave. And when he wakes up, he tells them, he saw his mama telling him, Hussein, you're not saying goodbye to me. I will be with you every step of the way. They ensure that everybody is helped up onto the camels and the horses. And then suddenly somebody comes and whispers to Imam Hussein. And he says to everyone, please move away. Just go away, all of you. And he calls Hazrat Abbas. And he said, Zainab is coming. It is Zainab who is coming. And when Sayyida comes, they put her on the horse with so much respect. We're told, or the Zakirin always talk about this, that on the day after Ashura, when Sayyida was tied up, her hands were tied, her feet were tied, and she was made to go on this horse, she kept on saying, where are you, Hussein? Where are you, Abbas? When she was made to go through the battlefield and see those who were killed, to see their bodies, that's all she said. She said, where are you? I remember the day when you helped me up on the horse. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. سَيَعْلَمُونَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّمُ قَلْبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the tawfiq to fall in love with the Rabb of Hussein through his book. Let us pray to Allah to give relief to all those who are suffering so much in the world today. We give you the wasila Hussein, washabul Hussein, wa'uladul Hussein. Ya Allah, for all those who are sitting here, it's the 1st of Muharram. You listen to the dua of Zakaria. Ya Allah, we ask you with the wasila of Hussein that you listen to the duas of all those who are sitting here. Fataqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim.